Hello and welcome to You Don't Know Jack. My name is Chris Brown.
And I'm Hubert Maitland.
And we're recording on a Sunday, May 5th, 2024. I almost forgot what year it was.
I've done that at least. What month is this? The fifth
this
month?
It's May now, yeah.
I've been done this at least five times this year.
Oh, man. It's
one
okay.
For like, each month.
I think most people are forgiving, you know, for January, but once you get into January, it's like, gotta get
like
that year
all
right.
The way in May, we should have our stuff figured out by now.
Exactly. I mean, if these NFL teams can be making decisions on the you know, beginning of the next season, drafting all these players, making all these trades, and, you know, getting all these free agents, extending players, then we should have our act together too, right, Hugh?
Facts.
And that's what we got to talk to you about today on this episode of You Don't Know Jack. There's just so much going on in the NFL. I in our pre-show, I was talking about, I'm just so excited about this season with all of the players and new teams, new locations, and all of the young, talented athletes coming out of the college ranks and joining these pro teams. Like, it's only May 2024. But I'm really excited about this 2024 NFL season. So you just want to jump into it, man?
Let's get it.
All right. We're going to start off with the draft that happened. What is it? Two weeks now?
Yeah. April 20, I believe 25th or 27th.
Was it 25th? Yeah, I think it was the 25th.
Like that. Yeah.
So yeah, April 25th, about 2 weeks ago, the NFL had their draft. Probably one of their most watched and most attended in person.
Most attended.
The NFL draft is now a road show. They went to Detroit. Detroit showed out. They had over, I think, 270,000 people show up in person over the
crazy
3-day draft event. So kudos to Detroit. I didn't hear about any, you know, issues. So
you want to say shootings or stabbings or
trigger warning. Yeah, that's taboo. We don't want to touch it. We just want to say thank you to Detroit. It looks like you guys were great hosts, and the NFL draft went off without a hitch. So I'm really excited about it, and it was just exciting to see, you know, some of the top names in college like Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Keon Cole,
six quarterbacks.
Bo Nix finally get drafted.
Bo Nix. He was what, 50?
Yeah. He was first round, I thought.
I'm talking about his age. He's been in college for a long time. I'm just saying, he's been in college for, I feel like I seen him in 1995 when I first started watching football. Like, he's been around for a long time with Chris Winkie and all them people.
Yeah, I know, right? It felt like forever. I actually put that out on our Instagram and our Twitter. Please go follow us, twitter.com at YDKJ Podcast and Instagram.com at YDKJ Podcast. Just follow your boys, you know, for great NFL content. I posted that and I was like, man, after like 80 years, Bo Nix is finally going to be an NFL pro player. So, right. You know, it's awesome to see all of the young guys making their, you know, making that leap to the next level. So I'm going to start with my team, my Bengals, kind of give them a basic score. I don't even know what our song is. Something about a jungle, I bet. My score is not going to be very, analytical. It's not going to be very professional because I am not a football analyst by any stretch of the imagination. However, it's about feelings. Forget the facts. So I'm just going to talk about our picks and my picks, the Bengals picks, and how I think that will help our team. And then what, where we need some improvements, where there are still some questions. So real quick, we drafted Amarius Mims, offensive tackle from Georgia, with our first pick in first round. Good pick. At the end of the day, we need to protect Joe Burrow at all costs. So I'm really excited about that pick. I felt like we needed a offensive tackle, and then some help in the secondary or just the defensive side of the ball in general. So with our second pick in the second round, pick 49, we drafted Chris Jenkins, DT from Michigan. So that kind of fills a gap for us there in our front line. So I'm really, really happy with what we're putting together. We also got Jermaine Burton from Alabama, McKinley Jackson from Texas A&M. Not going to go through everybody, but Josh Newton, cornerback from TCU, got that in, got him in the fifth round. So I'm really excited that we got some, you know, defensive ballers. Not excited that we got two tight ends. I don't think we needed two tight ends, but okay, we're okay.
And always, you cannot never have many tight ends, man. Tight ends are very important in this game.
But we got Gesicki.
He's getting old.
Sure. Yeah, but he was from Miami, right? He had a pretty good year for Miami last year. So I felt like we, you know, we may not need a tight end, but you know, it's always good to get one at least. I just hope that we are able to manage on the defensive side of the ball. And then my biggest thing right now is we have Zach Moss as our first running back, and then our second running back is Chase Brown, which I love Chase Brown. He's kind of, he's our Sproles like back, our kind of our, you know, go-to for screen plays and things like that. But Zach Moss as the starting running back, that feels a little weak. It seems like a downgrade from Joe Mixon for me personally. So I was hoping that we were going to do something to bolster the running back position in the draft. But like you said in the pre-show, Hubert, the one with all the wisdom, is like, you know, so it's early. It's early in this offseason.
One with wisdom.
Yeah, you're the one with all the wisdom.
Nah.
You're the wise man.
Nah.
Wise Hubert. I was about to say old, and I was like, nah, let me not do that.
Oh, I'm old.
That's the strong shade.
I'm old. No, don't get it twisted. You see this? Hey, you see these white hairs, man? You see that?
I hear you. I see you. I hear you.
I did that just for men.
Just for men, isn't that a song?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I know it's a product.
I feel like they sing in that commercial, which is just strange. Why would y'all be singing about? Anyways, we digress. Yeah. So overall, I would give my Bengals a B-. I thought again, we did what we needed to do as far as offensive tackle to protect Joe Burrow, and then we got some good defensive guys. So we'll see, you know, time will tell how everything works out with the remaining pieces that we need to kind of fill out our roster. But man, yeah, like I'm excited. I think we did what we had to do. And now it's just, can we make that big splash that I'm hoping for? Again, I will speak it into existence. The Bengals will be getting Justin Jefferson before the beginning of the 2024-2025 season. Boom. Take that for data.
All I know is somebody told me, actually nobody told me, I heard it somewhere. If you write it down, it's more likely to happen. So you probably need to write it down somewhere.
I will do that right now, sir. And I will even show you. Let me grab a pencil here. But you can go ahead with the Eagles. But I do agree with you. If you there's something called like auto suggestion. If you think about it, if you write it down, if you look at it, you speak it into existence. So Justin Jefferson to the Bengals. That's my
thing. That energy comes forth. All right. Time to talk about my Eagles. Buckle up, folks. This will be quick. We'll start off with the acquisitions that we made prior to the draft. Real quick, because we already went over this, but yes, he kind of blacked out there, but it's okay. We got the gist. We signed Saquon Barkley, Bryce Huff, Zach Brown, CJ Gardner-Johnson, Matt Hennessy, Braden Mann. Yeah, I think he was there before, but we just re-signed him. Signed Owen Burks and Devin White. We also signed Paris Campbell, Will Greer. We signed, I believe, I can find it. I believe we signed CJ Uzoma. Came from you guys, actually. Thank you.
Wasn't he a tight end?
He was.
That's what I'm saying. Like our tight ends were. We just got rid of everybody. I don't get it.
He was a tight end. And I believe there's another signing that I can't remember. Well, no, it's not on here. We signed Devontae Parker too. Somewhere around here. It was a while ago. But that Devontae Parker signing, I don't think he's gonna make the roster. But
yeah, because your draft class is insane.
Yeah, we've got wide receivers out the wazoo right now. We re-signed AJ Brown and Devontae Smith both in this season, so they locked up for a very long time. So that's a good indication where we're headed as a team. Coming over to the draft picks here, I think that was a very good compliment to what we got on draft night. We needed cornerback help. Let's just go ahead and let's say our cornerbacks were subpar last year.
Don't we all?
well, I mean, I'm just pointing to one game in particular, the Seattle Seahawks game in the middle to the end of the season last year, actually more to the end of the season. We were winning that game, and what we needed to do was make a stop. We needed one stop. That's all we needed. One stop, we win the game. A field goal would not have won it for them. They needed to score a touchdown. Yeah. And who did they pick on when they needed to score a touchdown? James Bradberry.
Mm-hmm.
Over his head for a touchdown. So we addressed that in the draft. Back before, I think Eagles fans understand the implications of how Howie Roseman would try to pick the best fit instead of the best player. I know Eagles fans know what I'm talking about. And Jalen Reagor, best fit. That's what we thought from TCU. Did not pan out. Since then, Howie Roseman went with the best player, and he has not missed yet. Devontae Smith is a testament to drafting the best player. And so we're hoping that he did that for this first. We got Quinyon Mitchell.
Let's go.
You know, there were some top cornerbacks on the board. Nate Wiggins, Teron Arnold, Kool-Aid McKenzie. We had some physical specimens at cornerback, but we went with the kid that came out of a small town school. And I mean, I honestly don't mind it. Yes, the question mark is the competition level. Can he keep up? Can he compete when it comes to the top level of competition? But I think that was a good pick. I'm not sure where did Sauce Gardner come from? Did he come from Illinois? I believe he came from Illinois.
I thought he was an SEC guy. Let me see. But yeah, you're talking about Toledo, right? Toledo's not really a power five. We don't think of them as a power five.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the small town. I mean, my thing that comes to mind is Sauce Gardner came from, I believe, Illinois, or one of those. Not necessarily.
Sauce is from the University of Cincinnati, so they're FBS.
They're FBS. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're not playing. My point is he didn't come from an SEC, an ACC, like one of those recognized schools that have five star, you know, talent, that play five star talent year in and year out. And Sauce is regarded as one of the better cornerbacks to play in the game today.
Yeah, so exactly.
I think Quinyon, if he puts in the work and the effort and learns behind Slay and, you know, all these veterans, I don't know if you want to learn again behind Bradberry, but you can learn behind Slay. Slay's good. Learn behind Slay. I think he'll be fine. I think we have ourselves a pretty good lockdown corner. We'll see. I mean, we also got some good corners in Ringo, Ricks. We've got some decent corners that need to develop. So we're young. I think we got a good squad.
I still feel like you should have taken Terry on Arnold, but that's just me.
He's the flashier pick. He's the flashier pick. He's the bigger guy. He's the guy that came from he's a five-star, came from a power school, like a known SEC, school. You know. But then again, you can't underestimate those guys that have a chip on their shoulder. Like, oh, you know, you think that just because I came from a small town school doesn't mean I can't compete.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not the case. You don't need to be huge to compete. You just need to have skill.
Yeah. And that's the beauty about what's going on in football right now. College football. You really don't need to have that Alabama name anymore.
No, not even a little bit. And especially since Nick Saban's gone. Mm-hmm. Alabama's not it no more.
Exactly.
They're expanding out. They're trying to find new horizons. I think Georgia's the new Alabama right now.
Mm-hmm.
So our second pick, I mean, like I said, Howie addressed the cornerback position very, very well in that draft. He got two of the top four defensive cornerbacks that were projected in the first round, in Cooper DeJean. Now I don't know how he fell. I do know it's explained. I mean, when you have six quarterbacks go in the first round, there's really no room for, you know,
offense really dominated defense, the first
yeah,
round.
Yeah, there's really no room for defense to kind of get in there. So he fell to us at number 40. We picked him up. This guy is a versatile player. This guy is a ball hawk. This guy is physical. I've seen some of his tape. Came from Iowa. Iowa's known as a physical school. They're not really flashy on offense, but they got some defense. Mm-hmm. So that was a really good pick for us. He could play anywhere. He could play slot. He could play safety. He could play outside. He's played pretty much all the positions. So, I mean, that was an exciting pick that we got him. I envision him being used like the Eagles used Malcolm Jenkins back in the day, moving him all over the field, you know, down in the box,
yep,
on the slot, you know, just different sub packages, him not coming out the game for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, how we addressed it all very well. Going on down the list, we're not going to read all of it, but he set himself up for the future. Traded out some picks for some draft picks in 2025, which we didn't have many. Now we have quite a few, so that was wonderful. One of the bigger acquisitions that I feel like he made an impact. Will Shipley, I don't know how he got that guy.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be big time.
Very big, very good running back out of Clemson. He's got some fumbling issues, but, you know, overall, he's still a very good back, very physical, can catch, do some damage out the backfield, tie him up with Saquon. we can see some magic behind there. Anias Smith, I have not seen him play at all because I never really cared for Texas A&M when Jimbo went there and traded on us. So I kind of boycotted Texas A&M, but he got fired and I should have watched him some games. But Anias Smith, I went back and watched some highlights. This guy, the only way I can describe this guy is he's like a LeSean McCoy but smaller. This boy can make people miss in the hole, make people miss after the catch. Like, he is, his vision and his ability to stop on a dime is like second to none. So yeah, I'm excited to see him kind of develop into that guy that third receiver that we need, because Quez Rockins wasn't it. Lastly, I think we call this the legacy pick.
Yeah, when I saw this, I was like, dang, that's awesome.
We ended up getting an Eagle legend through and through. Back in the day, I remember the name Jeremiah Trotter.
Mm-hmm.
On that, you know, he was on the team with Brian Dawkins, and I believe Lito Shepherd was there, and Sheldon Brown, and all these guys that that went to a conference championship or conference championship, all that stuff.
Did they go to the Super Bowl? They may have gone to the Super Bowl.
I don't know if they went to the Super Bowl. I think they went to a conference championship, but I have to look that up even further. But I was surprised that Trotter fell as far as he did. Mm-hmm. He went to, I think he was a fifth rounder. 155th pick. Mm-hmm. We traded up for him. Legacy pick. His father was great as an Eagle, and I feel like that legacy that he's living up to will make him great as an Eagle. Linebacker was a dire need in Philly. We addressed it some in free agency, mm-hmm. but now the younger guys are coming in, and I feel like this is gonna be a good one.
Yeah. So when I saw that, I was like, that is too cool. Jeremiah Trotter was so good at middle linebacker.
Yes.
That he made me almost want to play defense, and I don't play defense in football.
Yeah.
That's how good he was at just reading things, getting everybody in the right position, and then hitting hard. You know, hit the gap. You know, get to the running back.
True again. Linebacker.
He true was linebacker. A beast, man. Yeah, a beast.
True linebacker.
And he did go to that Super Bowl with the Eagles.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, okay. But obviously they
lost. Yeah, that's why I don't remember it. I blocked it out of my memory. lastly, I just want to point out one of my FSU boys from this past year went to my team, Johnny Wilson, wide receiver out of Florida State, the 6'6" or 6'7", 230-pounder. Man, that mm-hmm. dude is tall. Yeah. So if he can develop into a premier wide receiver, his comp would probably be Darren Waller, from used to be a longtime Raider. Now he's a New York Giant. Waller was a wide receiver. He transitioned to tight end. There's been talk that Johnny Wilson should transition to tight end. We'll see. His primary position is wide receiver. He played that very well at Florida State. But you're going up against some elite competition in the NFL. So I'm going to need him to step up and actually be better than he was. Stop dropping those passes. other than that, I mean, I feel like our grade, we had a solid B+. I would say a B+ is a grade for our draft picks. Mm-hmm. I think we addressed some very big needs. We got some legacy picks. We got we do this every year. We draft offensive linemen, defensive linemen. We address the line every year, which is a staple for Howie Roseman. So, I mean, just overall,
mm-hmm.
very good draft year for us.
Yeah, I agree with that grade. I would have given you an A- if you had selected Tyrion Arnold. We'll see. Time will tell. Yeah. But yeah, you guys really surprised me with some of your picks. I think you got some steals in the later rounds. So kudos to you. Kudos to how we what I believe is getting it right. So we'll see, man. Your team looks exciting.
We'll see. We will see.
We will see. We'll see about a lot, because a team that doesn't look very exciting from the outside right now is the Atlanta Falcons. So the Atlanta Falcons did something very interesting in the draft this year. They selected a quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. from Washington. I believe at number 8 or number 9. I don't have that on right now, but basically that was number 8. He was picked. Anyways, doesn't matter. He was picked in the top 10 of the first round. And it's like, why would you?
It was a head scratcher for real. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's wondering, okay, you just paid Kirk Cousins coming off of an injury from Minnesota. You paid him $180 million, $100 million guaranteed for 4 years. So why in the world would you select Michael Penix Jr.? Penix Jr., you know, he probably fell a little bit because he's had some injury concerns over the years. But generally speaking, it was like, I don't think that's what Atlanta needed at the time. Granted, you know, there's a lot of assumptions. Kirk Cousins is healthy. You know, he's going to be okay. You know, throwing the ball downfield and they can get everybody involved. There's a lot of assumptions you have to make if you want to say that Kirk Cousins is the guy. But I mean, you're paying him
that's true.
$180 million. So
that's true.
It's just a very strange thing. So Hubert, old Mr. Wise One, can you explain what the Atlanta Falcons were thinking about drafting Michael Penix Jr. so high?
Two words. Kurt Cousins. To be honest with you, I was a head scratcher for me, but then I thought about it. If you go back to the history of Kirk Cousins, what has he always done? He can get you to the playoffs. He don't do nothing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He is the ultimate game manager. He is the ultimate system quarterback when it comes to game managing, but that's it. If you need him to step up and do something, you won't get him. So that's why they wanted to make sure to have some assurance when it comes to the quarterback position. And they wanted to secure that for the foreseeable future. And to have a young guy in Michael Penix Jr. to learn from a veteran quarterback that's done it, but actually has proven himself to go to a national championship and play very well.
Yeah.
Although he got skunked by Michigan, he still was able to get his team rallied. I mean, it was good. He had a good season overall last year. So and also I feel like, and this is a side note, I've mentioned this before. I feel like this was a way for Atlanta to get back to the whole Michael Vick era, because Michael Vick was electric. And Michael Penix Jr. can be electric. It looks like, yeah. I mean, when he plays, he can make some plays. So I don't think he's the runner that Michael Vick was, but
yeah,
boy can spin the ball. And he's a lefty too. So
yeah, I don't know. A lot of comparisons.
I don't know. You do the math. You can see there might be some comparisons when it comes to him and Michael Vick. So yeah. that I think is, I don't know if that, I say that as, you know, I see the comparisons, but I don't think that made a factor in the decision making of picking Penix. However, I feel like that was a good pick. Thinking back on it, after a couple weeks, seeing, you know, like I said, for me it was Kirk Cousins. That was an easy decision. They needed to go for a quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, Kirk Cousins isn't your franchise quarterback. He's not it.
But why pay the man so much money? I don't get it.
Because I feel like they didn't feel like they could get the guy that they wanted in the draft, and then he all of a sudden fell in their lap. So, yeah. I mean, I feel like they didn't get the guy they wanted, but they got a guy that they were comfortable with.
Yeah.
So, I feel like if they had the chance, they would have gone after Jaden Daniels. I mean, he's electric. He can run. He can throw. He can do all sorts of things. I feel like that was, but I mean, we already knew he was going to go high. And Atlanta didn't have that kind of pick. They got Bijan Robinson from last year. Bijan. I feel like, yeah, that's
in there. Yeah, Bijan Robinson.
So I mean, you have that kind of dynamic duo when it came to that, and you want kind of, that's what they wanted to recreate, but. I mean, I feel like Penix can do a lot of the RPO stuff, can run the ball when he needs to. I don't think he's necessarily the fastest quarterback in the draft, but I mean, I feel like he can move. So I don't know. We'll see what time tells. I feel like we'll see Kirk Cousins' days numbered, even though they paid him quite a bit. His days will probably end up being numbered even this year. when things don't pan out.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't want to happen. I truly believe that quarterbacks are better. Young quarterbacks are better when they have a chance to sit for a year or two and learn, just like, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely.
With Brett Favre, Jordan Love with Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith. So, like, I really hope that it works out for Atlanta and Kirk Cousins for a couple of years. I just don't know if you want to pay him $180 million just for a couple of years.
Yeah, he's not worth that kind of money. But yeah. Atlanta was desperate. I feel like Atlanta was very, very desperate in the attempt to get somebody, because they knew that, I mean, they've been through it in Ridder. Yep. Ridder was not it. They drafted Ridder. Yep. He was not it. They
drafted Ridder, and he was not the one.
They wanted somebody that has stability, because they have weapons. They got Bijan. They got London. They got Pitts. They got so many guys on that offense that can do some damage.
Yeah.
So they need somebody to get them the ball.
Exactly. And I hope the best for them. I may go see a game this year. So I hope Kirk Cousins is doing well, but I just don't, it is what it is. Arthur Blank has tons of money. It is what it is. I think it will work out in the end. I think it's going to be a good thing. I would love to see Penix Jr. and Bijan in the backfield with Pitts as tight end for, you know, in the next coming years, maybe. So we'll see what happens. But it's just Arthur Blank looked kind of shocked. At least that's what everybody else was saying. And that's what I kind of saw. Like, he wasn't as excited as I expected him to be to get this, you know, quarterback pick. So
when your announcers have to say that your GM has to explain the pick to the, mm-hmm. to the owner, yeah. That's a question. You do the question mark. I don't know if he's going to be there next year. That's the kind of pick that gets you fired.
Yeah.
If it don't work out.
Yeah, you better hope that it works out. Either Kirk or Penix works out.
Exactly. Because that's a lot of money.
Yeah. You know, and from one GM that's on the hot seat to another, because, I mean, you look at Denver right now, and you look at the fact that they just picked up Zach Wilson, but Zach Wilson is not expected to start because they drafted Bo Nix. And so it's like, okay, now they also have a QB situation where we're not 100% sure what's going on. Obviously, Bo Nix would probably be the potential starter, the one that would have the edge in that QB battle out in Denver. But I don't know. The Broncos are another team out there that I don't know if they really have an answer and a good answer for what they're doing at the beginning of the season. Obviously, still early in the offseason period, but quarterback is something that you want to solidify as early as possible so you can build your team around them. And Bo Nix, happy for him, but I just don't know if he can really be that guy on day one that they need, that the Broncos really need. It's such a tough division. You know, the AFC West is just crazy hard with the Chiefs and the Chargers. Yeah,
with Chargers in the West.
Yeah, they're in the AFC West with them. Chargers and the Raiders, probably not so much, but the Chargers with their new coach, Jim Harbaugh. Like,
man, nobody's scared of Jim. Yeah.
So,
nobody's scared of Jim.
What'd you think about Zach Wilson getting traded there?
I'll say this. My trash can outside could probably throw better than him.
Wow.
Just saying. Based on what I saw in New York, I mean, I feel like, yeah. I mean, my 2-year-old daughter can probably make better plays. I'm just saying, I wish the kid well, but I feel like he doesn't put in any effort. Like, I feel like he's a Johnny Manziel 2.0, as in. Johnny Manziel was a lot of talent, and Zach was a lot of talent coming out of college, but didn't put in the work. Like, he I don't know if you've seen the movie, is it Blue Mountain State? I think it's Blue Mountain State, or the show Blue Mountain State, where the quarterback position, there's a guy, he was the backup quarterback, and that was the best position.
Oh, yeah. That was like the best position on the team.
Yeah, the best position on the team. He ain't got to do nothing, and he won't play in the game, but he always gets the girls. And then he was thrust into that position of being the quarterback, and that didn't go so well for a while.
Yeah, the starting quarterback.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like Zach was the starting quarterback, but felt like he was the backup quarterback and had to do nothing.
Yeah.
So I mean, I feel like he has a lot of talent. I mean, he can put it together if he needs to. I mean, you saw flashes last year of him, you know, making some throws that were like, wow, that's an NFL type throw.
Yeah.
But then you saw six in a row that were just trash and like, what are you doing? So,
yep.
I mean, I don't know what Broncos were thinking. I think they got their Wilsons mixed up. And once they let the one Wilson go and the other Wilson came in, they're like, okay, we got the right Wilson, but I feel
gotta
like
have a Wilson on the roster, right?
You know what
That's
saying?
What they were thinking. Gotta have a Wilson on the roster.
Yeah. But I mean, they got the wrong Wilson. I mean, you should have kept Russell.
I mean,
Russell, you with the way that Zach's going to play, Russell would have played 10 times better.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, you didn't have a great season with Russell, but give him a chance. You know, he was great in Seattle. He was an incredible quarterback in Seattle. So give that man a chance, but they didn't. So they went and got the trash Wilson, and that's, we're going to see why. I mean, their wide receivers are going to waste the year because they have nobody to throw them the ball.
Yeah, and I could be wrong about Bo Nix. You know, maybe he comes in and he's impressive and everything works out well. But yeah, it's I just don't see it translating, and especially in year one as a rookie. And then
people he's not plug and play.
Yeah, and people may start to say, okay, bring in Zach Wilson, and that's not better. You know, that's a lateral move.
We call that a lateral move.
Yeah, man. Either lateral or honestly step below down. Step down. Yeah, so I don't know. Broncos got a lot to think about. Atlanta has a lot to think about. We wish them the best. But yeah, there's definitely some questions that will be answered
soon.
All right. Very soon. All right. Well, let's wrap it up with some contract, big contract news that came out. You mentioned AJ Brown was re-signed by the Eagles. He gets a 3-year extension worth $96 million, $84 million guaranteed. I think that's well-deserved, and honestly, hopefully this works out for the long term. I think he is what you need for Jalen Hurts. If Jalen can get him the ball, he's what you need, because you got you got your shorter speed guy, Devonta Smith, and then you got AJ Brown that could really box people out when you get into the red zone, and you won't have to do the tush push anymore. You can actually just throw the ball up. And,
man, that's a staple of what we do, man.
Yeah, it's just really well. I mean, without Kelsey, I don't know how well it's going to work, but I'm sure it will still work.
I mean,
but at least you'll have a fade option, you know, a little jump ball that you can throw to AJ. Well,
with Johnny Wilson, that'll be a layup.
Yeah, imagine either side, Jalen just chooses which matchup he wants. I mean, that's going to be great for them. So good for the Eagles re-signing AJ Brown. Chiefs, Super Bowl champs, back-to-back, they re-signed their future Hall of Famer tight end Travis Kelce to a 2-year deal worth $34.25 million. Congrats to him. Not that he needs it if he plays his cards right and gets that Taylor money. But
Taylor's gonna write a song about him soon enough, trust me.
Yeah, may not be a good one, but we'll see.
They always do. They
so always early speculation, it's a 2-year deal. Do you think Travis starts to wind down his career soon?
Oh yeah, he's been talking about that. He's getting older. I mean,
can't play forever.
I mean, he's still doing it at a high level though. So
yeah,
I mean, if you keep like that was the thing that his brother was trying to debate too. His brother was ready to retire 3-4 years ago, but because he's doing it at a high level, and there was, you know, the year that he went to the playoffs with Jalen, and then the Super Bowl, he was like, yeah, let me come back for one more year, and then this year was a disaster. So he's decided to bounce after that. If for a couple of years the Chiefs don't even make the playoffs, I think he's out. Yeah. I feel like he's trying to chase some rings still. So he's still got it. He's still there. I mean, as long as he's willing to put in the veteran work day in and day out. I mean, that's a grind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a grind.
I feel like if they three-peat, the first ever NFL team to win three Super Bowls back to back to back, He should retire this year. Yeah.
He should retire.
I mean, just go out on the high note. Go out on a high note.
Go out on top. And you get that Kelce money from ESPN or where'd he go? He went somewhere and he's getting big money. I think he's going to ESPN.
Yeah.
Kelce, Jason Kelce.
TV money.
Yep. Yeah. Jason Kelce's getting that. I mean, that's all they do now. You go from, if you're a high profile player and you come out of the NFL, they're going to snatch you up quick. And so, you know, you can go ahead and get a couple mil right back up there with how much you was getting from the NFL. So it's crazy. Yeah.
Agreed. So that's not a bad deal. I don't want to see. Oh, go ahead.
That's all right. I also wanted to mention, since we're talking about contracts, we also signed Devontae Smith. And I think I mentioned that before too, but we signed him another 3-year deal. I know we got AJ at what? 89? Are you 98? 98 guaranteed?
Yeah, I think it was 98.
We got
86 guaranteed. And then
86 guaranteed.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith got 51 guaranteed at a $75 million extension for 3 years. So either way, we lock both of them up for 3 years. Yeah. So
that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah, I don't want to see. I mean, you love to see that with those players in their prime. I'm not in love with what Odell Beckham Jr. did, but the Miami Dolphins have picked him up on an $8.25 million deal, and he's just kind of bouncing around. He doesn't have a team. He was with the Ravens last year. He won a Super Bowl with the Rams a couple years ago. So I don't want to see that from, the greats like Travis Kelce and AJ Brown, but I'm not mad at it. His deal is $3 million. And he can reach 8.25 with incentives. So congrats to OBJ, get your money. But at some point I feel like, he might want to retire.
I mean, at this point,
he's legendary. Like, we know for a fact, especially with that Super Bowl ring now, like, he was crushing it before he got hurt in that Super Bowl game. What more do you have to prove? What more do you have to do?
I mean, he was it once he had that catch versus the Dallas Cowboys when he was a Giant. I mean, that three finger catch.
Yep.
I mean, that solidified his legacy as one of the better receivers in the league for me. I mean, yes, I feel like the ring solidified him in the Hall of Fame. Definitely Hall of Famer. But like his just raw talent for catching the ball and all that. I mean, second to none. So,
yeah.
I mean, more power to him. Hopefully he can have a good year this year running with the cheetahs and the zebras and the antelope and all the fast land animals that the Miami Dolphins have on their squad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's congratulations to him. Hopefully, I won't hope for them to have a ring, because I'm always hoping for the Eagles to have a ring, but hopefully he has a good season this year and doesn't get hurt. That's the main thing. Stay healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to stay healthy, because he's dynamic when he's on the field, when he's available.
Absolutely.
He can definitely not be a game changer, but he's going to be an X factor for sure.
Absolutely. So.
All right. I think that's it for us, man. I'm again, incredibly excited about this season. I may be less excited if we don't get Justin Jefferson, if the Bengals don't pick him up somehow, but it is what it is. I'm just glad that we're able to talk about football and not, be completely bored through this off season period.
Yeah. I mean, training camp starts. Well, now the rookies are in training camp, getting it together, learning a little bit. And you got OTAs starting in June, end of May or beginning of June. So it's the season is upon us, if you really think about it. It's September is not that far away. Actually, August, because that's when preseason is. So,
yeah, exactly. That's when preseason starts.
So we're only what? 3 months away, 3.5 months away before we hit preseason. So, hey, buckle up. It's coming quick.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. And maybe in the future, Roger Goodell has floated the idea that maybe there's only two preseason games and an 18-game regular season. So, we may have an even shorter period there. I will say shout out to the UFL, because it's really helped kind of bridge the gap of having no football. Their games are, you know, they're not at the NFL caliber games, but they're good. So we appreciate that. And what the Rock is doing over there at
definitely
the UFL.
Definitely.
All right, man. Make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast and follow us on our socials. We are on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. We are at YDKJ Podcast. Just go find us there. We appreciate that. Leave a comment on the podcast on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Let us know how we're doing and what you want us to cover. Or if you agree with our grades for our teams, that's a big one. Yeah. Anything else?
I'm just kidding. yeah, man. Y'all just have a good week. Rest of the week. It's actually start of the week because it's Sunday night. I feel like you usually record on Thursday, but have a good rest of the week. Summer started for me anyways. So
let's go.
It's smooth sailing until, you know, August. And then we're back at it. So I might actually start a Twitch channel for gaming. I won't do that, but
well, we got NCAA or whatever they're gonna call it, College Football 2025 coming out. So yeah,
that's true.
We'll see. We'll see what we can put together.
It's always gonna be Madden. So I mean, I'm not good at it, but it dries up.
Yeah, we can talk about it. Talk about what we think is gonna happen in the college world and the NFL world. So
yeah,
content is king, man.
Content is king.
All right. Well, my name is Chris Brown.
And I'm Hubert Maitland.
This is You Don't Know Jack. We'll catch you guys in the next one.
And have a good night. Peace.